This is Playing Around with Paige Renee.
Welcome back to another episode of Playing Around with your host, Paige Renee. We have Josh and Tori. We're just going to check in really fast. How's everyone doing? Because honestly, I have been in like the worst mood lately. I've just been, I don't know. It's just like Groundhog's Day where you just like wake up and you just live the same day over and over and over again. And I think I'm just kind of in a rut and I'm sick of it.
Well, I think you got to change that up. That's up to you. Because I felt the same way yesterday, but today, after this podcast, I'm playing my first round of golf.
That's exciting. Where are you going to play?
It's a place called Rustic Canyon, and it is a links-style course. It's, you know, Golf Digest, Golf Magazine's rated it like the best value deal for like a decade. It's one of my favorite courses. I love it. It's just going to be awesome.
How bad do you think you're going to play?
Oh, bad. Real bad. Real bad. I got to hit some greens because you know, here's the problem. I don't know if you know this, PG, but I've been building a house.
Yeah.
So I hung like five doors yesterday by myself because I'm social distancing. So picking up, carrying up the stairs, putting them in. You know, leveling, plumb square, all of it. My back is killing me. My hands are rocks. So it's even worse than when we played.
Tori, that sounds like a bunch of excuses to me. Oh. I think you should.
It sounds like I should get out there and probably hit a better handicap than him.
Oh, really? Tor, Pro Tour is going to go out to the golf field and have a go?
Honestly, it could be one of those things, though. Sometimes when I don't play for a while and then I play again, I play awesome and it's like the best round I've ever had. And then it's the second round or third round where the rust kind of hits me and I'm like, what am I doing? Or you get on the golf course and you have no idea. So you just, you never know. But I'm hoping for the best for you today, Josh. I'm excited for you. That's fun. I'm glad people are starting to like get out and play again. And you'll have to give us an update on how bad or how good you played on the next episode.
I definitely will lie. Whichever way, I'll lie. If I shoot even par, I'll say I'm 2-under. I'm going to lie to you.
Oh, even par? Josh, I've played with you before. You can't lie to me. I like that you're trying to sound all professional. Like, oh, if I shoot even par, I'm saying I've shot 2-under. Yeah, right. Let's try,
see,
like,
you're already lying. I'm already
let's
lying.
Try, like, 80s, and then you lie to me in the 70s. That's more realistic. That's more your speed.
It's part of the game.
Well, Josh, this might be your favorite episode because we have a very special guest today. And I know you know who she is, and I'm excited about this because she's actually a good friend of mine. She's awesome. But we have Holly Saunders on today. How do you feel about that with me and Holly? Are you going to report back to your guys and be like, today was the best day ever?
All I'm going to say is that if it's possible, and I'll get your permission, if I could get a screenshot, I mean, the bragging rights will go for years.
Well, I mean, you're already on the podcast, so do you really need the screenshot to prove it as well?
Well, I'm just saying, I just want to text it to all my guy friends and say, hey, what are you guys doing this weekend? This is my little Friday morning.
Lucky you, and then you're going to go shoot 90 on the golf course.
Okay, I'm not, because that would mean I shot 100 and I lied.
That's very true. But no, I'm really excited to have her. She's awesome. She has no, if you guys think I have no filter, Holly has no filter. And she has a really impressive career too. And I think people tend to forget that. And it's really sad because she has accomplished so much and she's still so young. And I'm excited to talk to her today and hopefully people can see a little bit of a different side to her.
Well, and I'm going to save this till, I guess, when she gets on because of how you guys know each other and all of that stuff, because you guys are in, like, almost, you're almost competitors in a way.
You know, yes and no. I think, like, we bond. Well, so when I first met her, we kind of bonded over the fact that we've shared kind of a similar career path and we've done things the same way. We think very similarly. We've had similar struggles. And so even though we might be a little bit competitive, since just because, you know, we're in golf and of how we look, she's probably one of the only girls I've truly bonded with in my field of work because of everything that she's gone through and that I can relate to. And so I think from the very beginning, we never really felt this like competitiveness. I will say I was very intimidated by her at first because she is so beautiful and she's such a spitfire. She's uber confident. And she just, when she walks in the room, like, you notice. And so I was intimidated at first, but once I started talking to her, she's really cool. Oh, it's going to be fun.
That's great. Okay, so that's, I can't wait to see all of that, and I'm a very lucky man. But I wanted to do one little thing real quick before we jump into that, and that is the update on the match.
The little thing they did the other day, the video thing, that update?
No, well, it's official now that it's official. They've got a date, they've got a time, and they have a format.
Oh, I didn't see that. I honestly have just been like depressed in my house, just like not doing anything. So, what's the format?
So it's kind of what we kind of hoped for and kind of not. So the first nine is four ball. So that means basically best ball, right?
Okay.
So we're gonna get screwed there because it's basically gonna be Tiger versus Phil.
Yeah, pretty much.
But the second nine is going to be a modified alternate shot.
Oh, that's fun. Oh, that's going to be so hard. Alternate shot is the worst format of all time. I had to do, there was a father-daughter tournament a long time ago that I played with my dad. And it was mostly father-son, and then I ended up playing. And at the very last moment, they changed the entire format to being alternate shot, and I had to play where the boys were from. And my dad had to play all the way back from the tips, and he sucks. The only fairway he hit was number 18, and he hit it on the 15th fairway. And I had hit it from the 15th fairway over the clubhouse from like 220 out with like a 3-wood, and they just put new glass and I had to go over it. But I was livid at my dad because he was like snap hooking it and I was hitting these shots I've never even hit before. So I'm sure Tiger and Phil are going to be like, I've never been in this spot before. So it's going to be really fun to see them kind of struggle a bit. Alternate shot's the worst. I don't care how good of a player you are. You always struggle with alternate shot.
Yeah, and I think that also what that does is that caters to banter because they're going to have to. So like Peyton, you know, Peyton puts Tiger in the woods or whatever, or you know, Tiger's going to have to advise the whole time. I think it's going to be really helpful for the banter.
No, I agree. But I will say that Tiger and Phil are probably the two most prepared guys to play alternate shot because they don't really hit that many fairways either. So they're used to scrambling and they're used to playing some unique shots. So I'm mostly excited to see Phil try to hit some crazy, crazy shots out there. Because, you know, he likes to just bomb it away and just flop it from everywhere. So it's going to be fun. I'm excited for that.
So, PG, why aren't you out at the golf course if your quarantine or your stay at home is driving you nuts?
I don't know. I there's just so many people out there. Like when I go hit golf balls, it feels so packed, and I just don't know if it's like safe yet. It just seems kind of soon, and there's really no precautions out here at Arizona golf courses. So I just don't know if like it's worth it, or I just don't know how I feel about it yet. And honestly, I just don't really feel like walking either because I refuse to take a car right now. The last time I played, I had to walk like 9 holes, and our home course, True North, is like up and down and it's so long. And I was like, I haven't huffed it in the longest time. And up number 9, I was like huffing and puffing and my legs were sore and my back. And I was like, I'm never walking again. So I think that's me, you know, the main reason why I just don't want to walk. But I refuse to use a push cart. I think people who use, and this is probably going to ruffle some feathers, but I think people who use push cards are just bitches. Like, oh! They I have been raised to not use a push cart. I think push carts are for wimps. You carry your bag, and that's the way that it is. You do not use a push cart. Like, it's embarrassing seeing these kids in college now use their little push cart. I think it's just such a bad look for golf. Like, be an athlete, carry your bag. Oh. How many push carts do you have, Josh?
I have a really nice push cart.
And you're totally going to use that today, aren't you?
I am going to use the push cart today.
I knew it. But, I mean, that's not shocking. Like, I feel like you're a push cart type of guy.
Oh, my God. PG, that hurts so bad because I subscribed to what you thought for almost all of my life, right? And then I hurt my back, and I was like, okay, well, I can't carry anymore. So, and I got a push cart, and I love it, and I'm a bitch.
It, you know, the thing is, it's like, I see why people use push carts, and there's definitely times where it's pouring rain, and I'm, like, lugging my bag and carrying my umbrella, and the person in the push cart's just like, doo-doo-doo, with their little umbrella, and they have their snacks, and everything's dry, and I'm like, okay, like, this is karma for me just being a complete bitch about calling you a bitch. So I get it, but that is just my own personal philosophy, and I'm sticking to it. So I've used a push cart like once or twice, but I'm a carrier through and through. I will always carry my bag, and I can't do it. Like, I can't bring myself to use a push cart. It's almost as bad as people using, no, but it's almost as bad as like people using, there's three things that really bother me. When non-professionals use a tour bag, a staff bag, that's one. Iron covers is another one.
So with and, you so far.
And people who use push carts. Those are like my three things. I can't deal with it.
I totally creeped into your top three. I agree completely with both the other two.
I can't wait until I see the full push cart with the staff bag with the iron covers. I feel like that is when I'm gonna die. When I Should see I get- that on the golf course is the day that I'm done playing.
Should I get the plastic iron covers or the like the little soft glove kind?
They're the black soft ones with the little number on it.
listeners, let us know who is like do. I don't even know how to tease this because I just don't understand golf. Like, do you put a little... are you someone who puts a little cover on your golf club? Or
irons.
Or do you...
Irons.
Or do you push cart your golf clubs around? Let us know at PAR@iHeartRadio.com or DM us at Playing Around Podcast. And we are going to come to break. We are going to go to break. And then we will bring on Holly next.
So we have Holly on the podcast today. Thank you so much for coming on. I am so excited. First off, how are you doing? How are you surviving?
Oh my God. Thank you for having me. I know you can have your choice of guests and to take the time with me, Paige. Thank you. And I am in Las Vegas right now. I have been alone now for, I think, 21 days. And I spent actually 16, 17 hours a day building an app, which I'm sure we'll talk about later, but that's what I've been doing. Just trying to like not go crazy and jump off the 38th floor here. Seriously. It's been nuts. How about you?
Same. It's just been like the same day over and over again. I'm getting sick of it. I want to travel again. I want everything to be normal, but I'm lucky here in Arizona. You can still like go out and they've opened like golf courses now. And I think they're opening like restaurants. So it's starting to slowly get back to normal, but is it like a ghost town in Vegas? It must be so weird being there with no one there.
It is so strange. There was no one in the airport. I was in Mexico for the first 4 weeks of this, like when Corona started and lockdown started. And then I came back, flew through McCarran, and nobody was there. And then the strip, the Las Vegas strip, is completely dark. All the lights are turned off. Every hotel. And there are like police officers guarding the front door of, say, the Wynn or Bellagio. So nobody can even go up and take pictures. The strip is completely dark. I never thought I'd see that in my life. I never thought we'd see a day without sports either. But this is crazy.
No, I know. It's insane. But I just want, I'm so happy that you're on. And I feel like a lot of people don't even know that we're friends and we have like so much in common. And I just can't wait to get kind of into everything. Cause I feel like so many people, same for you as for me, is they only focus on like one or two things of our lives and they kind of fixate on that. But you've had such an incredible career. I mean, you've kind of paved the path for so many of us. And one really cool thing that I found out is you actually played on the high school boys golf team.
Yeah, Paige, like nobody knows. I guess they see us comment on each other's Instagram posts and stuff like that. But like last year when I was finally able to meet you in Las Vegas, over at Shadow, and then we were at Michael Phelps Pro-Am, right? Yeah, we actually got to spend quality time together. I met you.
Yeah.
And what I had always thought, just through seeing you and just, you know, I judge people by their actions, the way they walk, the way they talk, the things they do. You were even nicer in person, even more genuine in person, prettier in person, truly. And I don't, there's not many people you can say, not many people I've met in person impressed me more. You impressed me more. And yeah, I mean, we need to collaborate on something. We keep talking about this, but then the apocalypse happens and it somehow interrupts us. But yeah, okay. So back to the beginning with me. Yeah, golf was a part of my life forever. So I was six. My mom took me to the golf course for the first time. And it just kind of stuck. And then, yeah, I was on the boys golf team and, you know, set the school record in middle school. We didn't have enough girls. I wore the big, that was before they had women's golf clothes. So yeah. I wore like the big, God, what were they? I think they were polo back then, this baggy ass and the green joys that you didn't wear waterproof yet. They were a size 5. Yeah, put in the boys team. I played boys softball and baseball and everything was kind of all boys until high school. I was an all-state basketball player. A lot of people don't know this. They just think, you know, golf was it. All-state golfer and basketball player. And that's all my life was sports.
Yeah. And then you went and played D1 golf at Michigan State, too. Mm-hmm. Did you ever have any aspirations to play professional golf after that? Or do you want to just get straight into broadcast?
I thought I did. But then seeing the girls who played number 1 and 2 on our team, like Sarah Brown or Laura Cuny, I wasn't even close. So, you know, I was good to play, you know, 3-4. I was on a full scholarship. It was fun. I had a really, really fun fucking time in Michigan State. I had a really fun time. It was the basketball, the football, and it was a full experience, Big Ten. So, yeah, I thought I wanted to, but I would have lived out of my car and been broke in like 3 days if I tried to go on the Futures Tour back then. So I was like, you know what, I'm gonna about it for a living instead. So I was at the Memorial Tournament from Columbus. After Michigan State, I went back to Columbus and was just an intern getting people's coffee, like the local sports station there. Because luckily I played a round of golf with Dom Berry, who's a local legend in their sports department. And they let me be an intern running around just, you know, and the Memorial Tournament came, which is at Muirfield every year. Mm-hmm. And yeah. I went up. I was just doing little interviews there. I called Brad Fax in the wrong name, which is on the range, which is amazing because I ended up working on a network with him later and he remembered it. But I went up to one of the Golf Channel cameras at Muirfield. I think I was 21. And I was like, you need to hire me. I didn't even know who was on the other end of it. It was just, I think it was like Steve Sands just between live shots. And I went to the camera and I was like, I don't know who's watching. You need to hire me. And I'm 21. And we tried to find the footage later. We couldn't get it. But they were just like, who is this? Like, of course they can't hear me. I wasn't mic'd up. They're like, what is happening right now? They're like, Steve, are you okay? So I kept sending this news director messages. I'm 21 years old. I'm like, I need his email. His name is Joe Riley. And I kept sending him messages. And for whatever reason, he responded. And he's a wonderful guy. I stay in touch with him to this day. He said, listen, you don't have any live TV. We can't just hire you, okay, just because you play golf. So I went to Little Rock, Arkansas, and I did the local news, 5 and 10 p.m. news, like kidnappings, like gangs, tornadoes. We were in 4 different tornadoes, like domestic stuff like that. We're in the middle of that, like in trailer parks and neighborhoods in Little Rock, Arkansas. So I did that for 9 months, learned live TV. I sucked. I was terrible. Like half the time the video didn't roll. I'm screwing up reading the teleprompter. I'm not trained. I don't know what I'm doing. 9 months later, Golf Channel, I keep bothering them. They finally bring me in for an audition because they said, hey, we're starting a new morning show. We don't even know what the name of the show is going to be. Okay, we've never had morning programming before. It's always been like the Orlamar, like yeah. dry metal commercial. Okay, so they're like, this could totally bomb. We don't know. So I go in, I read some highlights, and they were like, okay, we'll hire you. You can do the updates taped. I couldn't even do live TV yet. They hadn't even hired the other two hosts of the show yet. I didn't know who I'd be working with. So yeah. then they hire Eric, they hire Gary, and about 2 months later, we start Morning Drive. So they came up with other names of the show. It's supposed to be like Dew Sweeper, Dew Sweepers, and it somehow became Morning Drive. We go on the air, whatever it was, January 1st, 2011, and we had met 2 days earlier, and there we go. I was so nervous. I couldn't do anything live the first 5 months. I had to tape all my updates, and then we kind of went from there, and it kind of went fast.
Well, and you had multiple shows on the Golf Channel after that, and you were with them for a while.
Yeah. By the end, after they saw that I was growing and I really wanted to learn, that was the number one thing, is that I would stay afterwards and beg Charlie Reimer to let me do Golf Central with him, just as like some kind of like just practice, because I really wanted to get better. I'm waking up at that point for Morning Drive. I was waking up at 2 a.m., driving an hour into work to get there at 3, preparing for the show that starts at 7. But again, I'm just trying to learn. So maybe one day I could go live and not annoy all the producers, and I could just, you know. So if I'm already waking up at 2, I'm sticking around the office until 3 p.m., 4 p.m., even though I'm exhausted, just to try and learn. So as I got better, they allowed me to get on Martin Hull's instructional show, which is the sweetest man in the world, nicest man in the world. And that was great. Michael Breed was terrific with me. And then they brought back Playing Lessons with the Pros, which was my, as a child, that was the one thing I wanted to accomplish, like that show, because I remember Stephanie Sparks doing it. And when they said that I was allowed to do that, I was like, wow, like who has ever chosen something like that on television and said, that's my dream? And then they get to go do it. And it was just like, then the Roll on Morning Drive became bigger and we moved to the different studio. And it was pretty surreal, but it was also really draining because I was working 7 days a week at that point.
Yeah. And then you got another dream job right after that with Fox Sports. And I think you absolutely killed it on the coverage with Fox. But there's one thing that I wanted to always talk to you about this because it really, really bothered me.
Sure.
It was the U.S. Open and you were wearing this beautiful white dress. It was a high neckline. It was a very high neckline. And it was, just above your knee, very conservative. Mm-hmm. And you got lit up for it. People were saying it was like inappropriate and how dare you wear that and all of this stuff. And I thought you looked amazing. Was that really frustrating for you to just be like, I'm here trying to do my job and you guys are focusing on something that like I can't even control? Like, sorry, my body just looks like banging in this outfit. And that always bothered me. And I like still remember like defending you on that because people were like, how could she wear that? I'm like, it's a normal dress. And sums up golf right then and there.
1,000%. I remember walking into the studio and the people were miking me up and they were like, wow, was it Easter Sunday? Because it was probably the most conservative dress I had ever worn. Like, it covered everything. It's down to my knees. It's like frilly. Like, the people in the studio were like, damn, is it Easter? Like, wow, you're covered up. And then for whatever reason, like, people went nuts. And it was just that like side view that just like accentuated the curves that like, but by then, Paige, I was like immune. I was numb to all the like the people, their opinions, especially in the golf world. And, I think every day on Golf Channel, I wasn't really into social media yet on Golf Channel.
Yeah.
I started kind of at Fox and I was seeing this whole different world, especially in 2015. When we were just brand new at Fox, we did the U.S. Open. It was basically the Super Bowl of golf, and we had met each other 3 times. You know, we're at Chambers Bay. The course was not in the best condition. We have all this shit going on, and I'm stuck in a room doing interviews. It's like a room of dirt. I have one camera. We didn't even have a two shot. And I asked Jordan Spieth. I'm like, Jordan, like, you're just having a good time with them. Hey, did you even bring a, fifth outfit or whatever? Ha, ha, ha. Because for the people that don't know, back then, there was a playoff on Monday, an 18-hole playoff. It's not just sudden death. That's the way, a playoff was back then, but people are like, oh my God, you're the stupidest person I've ever met. How could you ever be on television?
Yeah.
Oh my God, what a dumb bimbo. I mean, that was probably the worst day of my life. The next day. And
I remember that too.
Do you remember that? Yeah. We had to go to the Women's Open after that. And I remember just sitting on the charter flight, watching all this come in from some people who were my friends in the media too, who were just like, I can't believe she would ask that question. And again, to this day, I still don't even understand. Like, it was a joking question with Jordan. I know what I'm talking about. We're friends. But I got destroyed for that. So then after that, my mindset, I think, changed a little bit. It was a little more like, you know what? Fuck it. Like,
yeah.
These people that I've given so much to in the world of golf over the past, like, 5 years of Golf Channel, every single day of my life and my time and my smiles and everything are going to come down on me like that. Like, forget it. And that's when you kind of protect yourself, you know?
Do you feel like there is double standard in golf and especially in broadcast as well? I mean, I think, like, both are two very male dominated industries, and especially doing sports broadcast. I have seen so many guys ask very stupid questions and not get the hate that you got for something that was just very silly. And I feel like interviews are the same questions over and over and over again. Oh, you ask something that was different, and that kind of lightened the mood, because that wasn't like your opening question and that was the only thing you asked, you know? Right. And that, like, really bothers me, because you just went through your entire career and how much time and work and effort, blood, sweat, and tears you put into this. And it was one question and people just lit you up. Like, that just doesn't seem fair to me.
Yeah. And that kind of hardened me too, just to, that was probably the hardest month of my life after that. Again, because I left the comfort of Golf Channel. You're with a new crew, which, by the way, is the best crew in the world. Joe Buck, Paul Azinger. Back then it was Greg Norman, Brad Fats, and Shane Bacon. I can't say enough nice things about them. But it was, and we all, after that first U.S. Open, everybody crushed all of us. It wasn't just, it was like, okay, all right, we're okay. Well, we got to go do the Women's Open, then we'll re-rack after this. But I give the most credit to everybody at Fox. I mean, that was... At one point, our leaderboard disappeared. Everybody was just killing us that entire weekend. All of our faces were just kind of like, I've never seen anything or experienced anything like that. So, and then, you know, 4 years, we got better and better and better. We became a very close group. And, you know, it's just after 10 years of it and that same golf crowd, I think I just wanted to live my life. So, you know, I gave every single day basically to work, and every relationship kind of failed, married, divorced, boyfriends. I missed, you know, because I was doing college football on the weekends and pro football on the weekends. I missed, you know, some of my significant others games that they had. And I couldn't ever be around. So it was just kind of time to take control of my life when I turned 30. And to realize I had accomplished on TV what I wanted to accomplish. I went to a network by 26 and got to work with Skip Bayless and Colin Cowherd and, you know, some of my idols. And it's just time to live your life.
Yeah, and I get this a lot too, where people only think that you have a career in media if you are on TV. And right now you are doing so many really awesome, cool things. Like, you're killing it on social media. You have a new app that's coming out or that's out now. And I feel like people think that you're not doing anything. They say the same thing about me. It's like, oh, you're doing social media, but they don't realize that digital media is the future. Like, you're ahead of the time if you are in digital media, because traditional media is dying. Like, no one really sits down and watches TV anymore. They just watch, you know, quick highlights on, you know, Instagram, or they're going on Twitter, or that's how they're getting their news now.
Right. Well, the Sports Center model has been now dying for many years because it's not appointment viewing anymore. I mean, we remember 15, 20 years ago when it was like Stuart Scott, and we would all sit down and be like, oh, we have to watch the highlights at like 6 p.m. on ESPN. Now you just, you know, turn on the ESPN app or whatever it is, and you got them already. So, and we're seeing during the quarantine phase that you're right. Like the digital is what is surviving. There aren't any sports happening right now. Therefore, so many of my friends I've spoken to are just like, if MLB isn't happening, NBA got cut short, NFL may not allow fans. Like, how are we going to do this broadcast? How am I going to get down on that field? So digital is just kind of taking control of your own life. Like, what you're doing with the podcast, you've built an unbelievable brand. and you weren't on TV, you know, one day of your life, and you're still one of the most famous faces in golf. And again, that's what bothered me, is that like, we both did the Golf Digest covers. And yeah. Were you the year right after me, or was Lexi in between us, or Michelle Wee? I forget.
I think I was like 1 or 2 years after you.
I remember
they were like, we need to put like a pro in, because then they'll get way too much hate.
Right. Well, I remember that hate that I got from a lot of the female pro golfers when I was on the cover. And,
yeah, same.
You know, there's just a lot of similar things that you and I have gone through. And I don't think people think sometimes before they type stuff, like, you're plastic, or you're a bitch, or you're so dumb. Like, we don't meet a lot of people, you know? Like, I don't know how you get these opinions of us. I really don't know where it comes from, because you and I are not judgmental people at all. Like, you and I both wait till we meet somebody to decide, you know, this person is X, Y, and Z. I don't know how these people sit behind their keyboards. I can't imagine making up a fake profile and typing anything to someone I don't know, or anybody I do know. Like, you would never take the time to do that. Steven would never take the time to do that. I would never, ever take the time to do that. I don't understand it.
It's funny too, because I think when people look at us, they think that we are the fakest people out there. I mean, we get very similar comments. And so it's really funny to me, because I feel like they perceive us to be so fake, but we are actually the most authentic and real in person and on social media. Like you said earlier, there's so many times where you see these girls who act a completely different way on social media, and they have these, you know, good girl images, and they want to, you know, grow the game, and they want to do all this stuff, but then they are catty behind each other's backs. They don't look like themselves in person. They're not nice in person either. And so I think it's always unfair. And I think why we bonded so much is because we are who we are, and we've owned that. We use what we can to our advantage to be successful businesswomen. And, you know, I definitely want to talk about Vegas Dave, because that has been in the news a lot. Sure. But I first want to say, like, when that first popped up, people were making comments about you being like, you're in it for the money. And I'm like, Holly has her own money. Like, she makes her own money. She can make her own decisions. Like, they just always forget all this stuff. But what happened with Vegas Dave? What is going on with that? That just, like, blew my mind.
Like, okay, so Dave was, and I don't usually, like, when I date people, I don't usually make it public. I'm usually pretty private about all that. He was very good friends with one of my other friends who I trust, like character reference wise, because Dave is Dave. Dave is like, hey, I got this, I got that, I got that. You don't have that, screw you. So I'm like, this cannot be real. And he actually contacted me and was like, listen, I'm starting a sports podcast, and I think you'd be great on it. And so I heard him on the phone. I'm like, this sounds nothing like the character he plays. So this is probably, I don't know, 2019, October 2019. And he's like, well, you're coming here for Thanksgiving. That's my thing. I go to Vegas every Thanksgiving. It's weird, I know. So I was with my two gay friends, my hairstylist and his partner. And Dave was like, hey, I just finished up a day of football. Let's, you know, all the games are done. Let's meet. Let's meet at Crazy Horse, which is a strip club. So, because, I mean, that's like the
spot to feel comfortable.
And so I'm like, all right, we'll go. We'll have a drink, whatever. Met him and some of his friends there. I was like, if I don't like him or if he doesn't like me, we'll just go back home, whatever. And then went to Tao after that. And then went from there to Sapphire, which is yet another strip club. So that's our first date. Met all
so romantic, so it romantic.
On Thanksgiving, on Thanksgiving. And then, you know, took a party bus home, because he picks me up in his Ferrari, and he's Dave, Vegas Dave plate. And I'm like, this is so cheesy, but anyhow, couldn't drive home, took a party bus home, like with the stripper poles in it and everything, just the two of us. And woke up the next morning and actually talked about business. Like, we woke up and he was like, okay. And he's like, you look like your photos. And he's like, you're fun. And he's like, and you're smart. Like, he was very surprised. He's like, yeah, okay, let's talk business. So then we talked about his business for probably an hour after that. And then met up later that night at Nobu. And it was like, I went to Florida then to have a photo shoot with my photographer and talk to him every second, talk to Dave every second. And then he said, we're finishing up my documentary in LA. And I'm like, cool, great. Where? And he's like, oh, we're going to throw $50,000 on the floor at Crazy Girls in Hollywood, which is the biggest strip club in Hollywood. So I'm like, another strip club? Right. So I meet him at the Dream Hollywood, get in his car. He has the Rolls Royce out there, of course, another cheesy Dave move. And we go over to Crazy Girls and back grid, and like the paparazzi are there. And I wasn't expecting that. And so then, of course, he throws $50,000 on the floor. Honestly, like, I mean, it took forever, Paige. Like, in one, I don't realize how much time it takes. Those girls were so nice. They were so grateful. It was a great visual. And Dave, again, goes to these strip clubs but never even gets a lap dance. He pops bottles for $76,000 and never drinks more than a glass. Like, Dave is very in control of, like, what's going on. It's just an image he creates. And so then the next morning we wake up, TMZ, Holly and Dave and Holly are together at the strip club. I'm like, oh God, good headline. Awesome. So we're dealing with that. Then we go to the Montage, eat lunch in Beverly Hills. And there is TMZ in person in the courtyard. So we have an in-person interview. And at the end, Dave's like, I'm probably gonna ask her to marry me next week. And I'm like, ha ha ha. Okay. So we go to Mexico to his place in Cabo. And he actually asked me to marry him. This is 3 weeks after meeting, 2 weeks after meeting. Okay. So, and that's all on video. And I was not expecting that. I asked if we could go to Dairy Queen 2 seconds before. I thought we were leaving. I'm thinking about my ice cream. He's asking me to marry him. So Dave, the best way to describe Dave is like, there's Vegas Dave. And then there's Dave Wancha, who is a 43-year-old who, basically was a millionaire by the age of 30, multimillionaire, lost it all seven, eight different times because he was a professional gambler. And yeah. Then the feds came in. There was a huge case against him after it was like a payout of $5 million. Some of the casinos would pay him and some wouldn't back in 2018. And he was facing 40 years in prison. Anyhow, went through the entire trial, beat the feds, but is on federal probation. So he beat like the prison sentence, he is not a criminal. But of course, you go through something traumatic like that and you're like, fuck, wow. You know, yeah. like we think we've been through a lot on social media. I've never seen hate like he gets. Like, we were getting DMs from people that were like, I'm going to shoot you in the head at the Lakers game. Stuff like that. Like, I mean, next level scary kind of stuff. So Dave is Dave, and it's been fun. And a lot of times we have to have a discussion of like, listen, this is viewed as disrespectful. I know you don't mean it that way, but like, yeah. Like me cooking in my underwear and you're like, hey, yeah. Tacos. I'm like, let's, there's a fine line. So we've kind of streamlined that. But Dave is one of the best people I've ever met. Not many people get to see that. He would do anything for his friends and people close to him. But again, it's an image, and he sold that image about as well as anybody.
Yeah, and you guys are still going strong?
The quarantine has been tough for everybody. So we have taken like 20, we were in Mexico for 4 weeks, taken about 2-3 weeks away. And he's been with his parents who are, he's very close to them. They live here in Vegas too, so he's been with them. And, you know, we'll see how everything comes out. I don't force anything, but Dave is incredibly special to me. And we'll, you know, we'll see after all this craziness in the world. You know, he's got no sports right now. And that's all he's ever known. Every day, wake up, sell the sports, bet the sports, do this and that. So to have that taken away from somebody is really tough. So he's just hanging out with his parents, and I built the app, and, you know, everybody's trying to stay busy around here. But a lot of people in Vegas, I mean, 60,000 people the other day were just laid off again, just workers at hotels around here. A lot of our friends are struggling. It's just, it's a weird time in the world.
No, I mean, I definitely get it. And especially for couples too, I feel like you're going to end up with a baby or divorced after this. Like, honestly, there's no in between.
I'm in a high rise condo and people above me were having a fight yesterday. The people next to me were having a fight today. And I was like, it actually makes me feel better.
Like, everyone's going through it. I really want to know more about this app that you have created. I've seen it everywhere. It seems really awesome. It's a new way to connect with all of your fans.
Yeah. So you and I both know the difference between just people who are DMing us and people who are actual fans. And you and I would do anything for fans. Like, when we meet those sweet people and it's just like, God, we would do anything, you know? Those are the people that I wanted to attract, just to like a non-judgmental safe space, like social media, like not all the shit talking. So it's a Team Up Fitness app. They started it, the developers started it about eight, nine months ago. And I finally had time recently to set up my profile and really start pushing it because I'm a partner in it. And it's just, I respond to DMs there. I actually, it's just like a different part of my life. It's all the photos that don't, you know, make Instagram videos of me actually talking with them. I've gotten a lot of women over there, which is great.
Awesome.
That's not my usual demographic.
Yeah.
But they're sending me photos like of their body. They want to change it. They want to, you know, they talk about relationships. They just want to be, it's a place where they're grateful to talk to me. And honestly, I'm grateful to talk to them. So it's been growing, and it's a week now since we launched it. So, no, it's just, it's, people are like, is it OnlyFans? I'm like, no, there's no nudity. It's just a place where I will actually connect with you, and I'm happy to do that.
That's awesome. And we actually have some fan questions for the both of us.
I'll tag team with Pro Tour, but yeah, I'm here and ready. First of all, Holly, I do want to say, that was amazing what you just said. All the ways you worked your way up to where you are, you dropped some unbelievable names that you got to work with.
Okay.
And as a sports fan and a golfer all my life, what you went through, that's so legit that I'm thoroughly impressed with all of
Thank
that.
You.
And I remember the Fox thing. The Fox thing was kind of bullshit at the beginning because everyone was mad. CBS, Fox stole it from CBS.
Correct.
So everyone was going to get hate. You were all going to get hated on anyway because it wasn't fucking Jim Nance.
Right.
And it was all of that. So you guys were walking into a loaded situation. And who's going to get it the most out of all of those people but you? You're going to be the easiest target.
Of course.
But I thought you handled it really well, and I remember that distinctly. So
this
was so educational for me. So I'm gonna go back to questions now.
Thank you.
Okay, first one is, who has the better golf game?
Paige.
We've never played together.
Oh yeah, it's you.
No,
I never practiced.
You were
like a pro there. It's not even close. It is not even close. I have enough to make a taped show for, you know, the Fox Sports Regionals 18 holes. We can tape a good shot 1 out of 5 and make it look like I'm good, but you're actually good. Paige, not even close.
I think we definitely need to do a fun little match at some point.
Of course.
We need to like videotape it. It needs to happen. So we officially will find out who's better one day.
We need to sponsor this shit. We just need to do it with our camera crew and go. Yes.
I know. We always talk about that. We always want to do something together. And I think that's, we always talk about women in the industry not supporting each other, and that's actually quite the opposite. When you find someone that you bond with and you're on the same kind of level with how you think, you do want to collaborate because you're always on the same page. And that was like right away with Holly. It was never like this competition. Like, I don't want to help you because then you might be more this than me, or then
never.
You'll be higher. It was always like, what can we do to both elevate our brands and get our name out there and showcase who we are, because we know that we're businesswomen. We look the way we do, but we're also very smart. We're ambitious. We're confident. And we've always wanted to do something together and make that happen. And so it really kind of plays on this when girls are like, oh, I'm insecure, I don't want to help someone else. That's totally not even the case.
That's so gross to me. I don't understand how anybody could be like that. Like, I, every time I go to your page, I'm like, she looks great. Like, I'm hitting the like, I'm commenting. And especially like, and you touched on like just the nudes and stuff like that. And just the way that, and that happened to me back in 2017.
Yeah.
And you know what, the way you handled that was unbelievable. And again, mine were sent to somebody that I trusted as well. And, you know, I think it's the lowest thing in the world somebody could do, you know, to try and leverage that against us. Like, I would, who, what kind of people in this world, you know, that we trusted at one point, you know? It's just, you and I have been through a lot of similar things. And I don't think people understand what that's like to wake up every morning wondering, is this going to be on TMZ? Am I going to be embarrassed today? Am I going to be, you know, just for living your life?
Yeah.
But we've been through a lot. I know people laugh when they hear that. What have you guys been through? Stuff you can't imagine, you know? Stuff you can't think about. But Paige is definitely the better golfer. and that's hands down. We will have a match, but mine will be laughable. Like, my game is laughable.
No, come on.
You got a great swing. You got a smooth swing.
It
that's
doesn't
for sure.
Work. It looks good. It's aesthetic. It's not.
Okay.
I mean, all that's right. all that matters for us anyways, right? Correct. If it looks good, then that's we're it. Good to go.
That's right. That's right. Okay. All right. We're going to jump in. All right. If it's not, we'll jump a little bit off golf. What's your favorite sporting event you look forward to every year?
March Madness for me. And it got canceled this year because I would always go to Vegas. Now I live in Vegas. We were going to have this huge party because, like, that Thursday that it starts and through that first weekend when the first rounds are starting in March Madness, it's game after game after game after game. And somebody's winning, somebody's losing, people are going crazy. I love March Madness. I think it's the greatest sporting event. What about you, Paige?
I agree. March Madness is awesome. Have you ever done any basketball games? I know you did a ton of golf and then you did football. What other sports did you do?
I did college basketball because we had a lot of Big East basketball on Fox. And awesome. So I did that with, like, Tim Brando. And that was a lot of fun, too, because basketball games are the easiest to do because they're all inside. You know that it's not going to be cold out. It's not going to be snowing on you like football at the end of the season. It's not going to be 1,000 degrees. And it's 2 hours and you're out. Like, I look up and it's halftime. Those are the easiest to do. You got the on camera before the game, coach at halftime, coach after, and you're gone. So those were the easiest to do. Those were fun. And I was an all-state basketball player. So that was easy for me to – I had to learn football. I had to study football and learn football because in TV, if you get a name wrong, you're done. You know, you got to get those names right. You have all the players, all the positions, everything. I had to learn that for a year before I knew I took that job.
How much of it is prompter work compared to off script?
So almost everything at Golf Channel was prompter because mm-hmm. you're in a studio and you have your different cameras and your lighting and you look great all the time. For anything on the sidelines, no prompter. So that That's was insane. All memorization, off the cuff, comes down to the last second of the game. There's a field goal. You got to have both coaches. You got to run onto the field, find them, grab them. Like that was tough. Like that was for me, that was harder. And before the game, you got like your minute long thing. You got to remember with the fans screaming, you can't hear yourself. You can't hear the toss because the people in the booth are way over in another building. And the people who are the producers in a truck are way on the other side. So I'm by myself on the sideline. If I can't hear you, I just look like a fool. You know what I mean? Yeah. If people are screaming too loud and the crowd is too loud and I can't hear the toss, it's just me like this on TV. Like, Tim, hello. Like, it was stressful, but it was also fun to be a part of that.
Yeah, and I don't think a lot of people realize, like, how hard that is. Like, yes. I can never do anything live because I just fumble all my words and I can't remember things. And when those lights shoot on you and they're like, go, and you're like, ah.
Right?
Like, I don't know what to do. So I give you so much credit for doing that and how much just time and work and effort goes into that. I don't think, like, people realize how difficult, like, no. It really truly is.
At Golf Channel, it took me, I think, about 300 shows before I was ready to sit in the actual host seat and do it with Gary, and he would guide me through it. But I mean, it took 300, think about that, 300 shows, 2 to 4 hours each. Like, that's how many hours just to be able to feel comfortable to really do live TV for 2 hours. So and that's me working my ass off, me at home talking in the mirror all the time. Me going back when I totally had no idea what I was doing, I would go back and watch every show. And that's the worst part, is when you know that you suck and you go back and watch it and you have to see how you need to get better. But every day I would DVR or whatever, the morning drive, and I would go home and watch my updates after. And I'm like, oh, no. I'm like, because you sound like you're reading. Like, I can tell, okay, today Tiger Woods is playing in the, you know, because – yeah. But then you learn, and it gets smoother, and it gets better. But my advice to anybody who's like, you know, I'm starting out in TV, what do I do? I go, learn where nobody will see you. Like, don't make a big step too quickly. Go to Arkansas or wherever, Des Moines. Go and learn live TV and fuck up, because you will, and learn. Because I'm grateful I had that. Because if I had gone straight to Golf Channel, I would have not had the career there that I did.
That's nice, great advice. Nice. And
Okay, so I'm going to Pro Tour's back, and she has some, because mm-hmm. this is already, Holly, you don't know this, but I'm usually a 2-on-1, so now it's a 3-on-1, so I have to, like, I have to divert over to Pro Tour, because they usually gang up on me anyway.
Okay.
Okay, I'm gonna pick the last two questions for you guys. How many grapes do you think you can fit in your mouth? This is from a listener.
Oh, wow.
Holly, these are the type of questions that I get asked on my podcast all the time.
I
so
like it.
Very deep, meaningful things that we're, you know, we're tackling here.
Women's no, rights I like are this. Alive.
This is like my kind of thing. I'm trying to find something that's like the size of a grape.
I know, like we're just like, I can actually fit my entire fist in my mouth. So can I you? Have, I can. It's kind of my party trick that I do. But I might have to get rid of that because of Corona, you know, sticking things in your mouth. Yeah. Not that great. But that's my party trick. I can stick my whole fist in my mouth. So I can probably fit like, I mean, grapes are about that big, like 10? Do you think that's like a maybe? I mean, if you like stick them all the way in the back.
I mean,
Holly's sticking stuff in her mouth right now.
I have my first and I'm like trying to roll up the size of a grape, and like I think there's a lot. There's a lot.
Yeah,
I don't have a gag reflex either, so I think that there's like a lot I could fit. We'll do that when we get together too.
So you won't even know because grapes will just be sliding down your mouth or like right. down your throat, and you're like, okay, we can just keep going, just like right. endless that's, amount of grapes.
That's the way we go to the ER. Like, right? They've seen weirder. So
yeah.
Next listener question: since we're creeping into summer, a guy wants to know, what do you think of high-waisted bikini bottoms? Diapers or not?
Diapers. Diapers.
Yeah, you know what? Like if we're talking like 90s Cindy Crawford high-waisted, like making your waist really thin, that's hot. But then from the back, you've got the whole diaper thing going on. Because I've tried that too. And I was like, don't tell me from the back. We were just in Mexico and I had one on and it looked great from the front. And in the back, it was just a disaster. So yeah, it looked like a dirty diaper. Yeah.
Well, yeah, I like high-waisted stuff at times, but I feel like guys hate anything high-waisted. Even if it's not high-waisted, I'll get comments. They're like, why are you wearing, like, grandma jeans? I'm like, these are normal. Like, where do you want them to sit on me? Like, I don't get it. I don't get guys' fascination with, like, a low rise.
I think anything because it's the muffin top. It gives everybody yeah. muffin top. Nobody looks good when they sit down on low rise. It's always shit hanging over my pants, no matter how good a shape I'm in.
So it's like what guys are looking at. Where are they finding these pictures of women in low rise pants? Because it makes your legs look like this short too. Like,
well, they're finding that like there's modeling photos when it's the right angle and then pulled in with Photoshop. Like everybody has that muffin top over it. Like it is not. It low rise is the devil. Like I'm not. Like you'd wear low rise and then go sit on a plane in 4 hours and it's like spilling over into the next seat.
Josh, what do you think about low rise versus high rise?
Oh my God, you guys, I got two words for you. Daisy Duke. I mean, that's you can blame Daisy Duke. Her low rise jean cutoffs was, a million guys went through puberty with Daisy Duke. I'm just saying that.
Okay.
So like, and I gotta be honest, like the way you guys are talking about it, it's kind of funny that it makes all the sense in the world. Now, but no, I'm such a fan of the low rise. I don't want the high. The jean wise, no.
I think when people can see like navel and belly button, that's another signal too. That's a whole part of that. And if it's a belly button ring, yeah.
So okay, so we've decided that anything slightly below belly button is good, but it can't be lower than like more than about an inch, and then that's where it gets too uncomfortable.
Yeah. Or I'm gonna start buying like size 28 jeans, leaving the waist really like loose and then really tight, getting the rest of it tight. I've considered that too. Because in some photos I like it, but a lot of times I just if I have low rise on for a photo shoot, I just unbutton it or unzip it because it gives me that like little extra expansion. And it photographs better. So that's my trick. But you won't see me wearing those in public.
Like no. jeans. What?
Jeans are hard. Like, I like jeans a lot, but, like, they also are not comfortable.
But I feel like guys they're so off on like what they like and what they don't like. I'll wear like a full face of makeup and they're like,
I love the natural look.
I know. Like, what? Or they'll be like, oh, Kim Kardashian, she's so naturally beautiful. I'm like,
That's 2 hours, honey. Right. They sat in makeup for 2 hours.
And it's also like not her face.
Nude palette. Yeah. Like you see them in person and it is a full face of like contour, everything. I love that natural look. I'm like, bitch, I have so much makeup on right now. You have no idea. Like guys will write and be like, oh my God, you look so good with that makeup. I'm like, I have spiders for eyelashes right now. I have like, I look like a clown. If I walked into Walgreens, I would scare small children. The natural look. People don't understand everything's about lighting. That was the other thing about being on TV is that every time if it's a noon game versus a night game versus whatever it was, I don't have lighting on the sidelines either. And if that noon lighting is coming down, I'm looking like a troll. And that's just, you know that going into it. That noon light right on top of you, and you just, every feature is just blown out and you look bad. And you're giving this report to millions of people and you're like, I know if I go on Twitter, people are going to be like, oh my God, what surgery did you have now? Like, it's just like, and then the next day they see me, they're like, you're the most beautiful girl I ever seen. And then the next day, oh my God, you ruined yourself. And the next day, oh my God, did you gain 20 pounds? Oh my God, are you anorexic? Just based on the time of day, the lighting, how far away from the camera I am. Yeah. I mean, I even made them experiment on the sidelines, like a swoop in, like where you would get my like legs in, like a swoop in effect. No other sideline reporter has any kind of like you don't see their entire body. Then I'm like, just back up and just like do a swoop in so it's not so tight on my face. Yeah. Like, people wonder why I'm nuts after, you know, 11 years of this every day. But they're like, really, truly, somebody will be like, you're the prettiest girl I ever seen. Next day in different lighting, you are hideous. So it's like, what'd you do to your face? Oh, yeah, I had it cut up. You saw me 24 hours ago. Like, what do you mean? You can't
win. And like the thing that is the funniest part is if you were at a bar and a guy walked in and you went up to him and this guy maybe called you ugly the day before and you said, hey, do you want to go home? Do you think he would look you in the face and he would say, no? Hell no.
Right.
That guy would take you home and brag about it to all of his friends that you're the hottest girl he's ever hooked up with, because guys would hook up with a tree. And then they're calling these beautiful girls, like, ugly. It just drives me insane. So, like, props to you for handling all of the hate that you get, because you've come out stronger. You're still killing it. And guys just need to, like, get over it.
I come out being, like, a mental brick. Because after, I don't know if I'm stronger. I'm just, like, immune to it. I'm just, like, slide left.
Has just, like, lost our body. We just don't.
Totally.
We talk about this all the time. Like, they'll ask me questions. Like, I am so desensitized to, like, what is normal anymore that like, nothing phases me.
That's exactly right. Like, somebody will come on Instagram and be like, you know what? I was like you when you were all natural ball days. Like, I was never natural. Like, I don't know. Ever since the day that I went on Golf Channel, I had fake boobs. And whether or not I decided to get my nose done or, you know, we all experiment with filler now, lips, whatever it is. We all, you know, if you do Botox, whatever it is. Like, I liked when you were natural, a.k.a. if you translate that, that means back when I thought that you were girl next door and I could get you. That's what it is. Guys don't like girls that are too, they say they want this glamorous woman, but a lot of them can't handle that.
Yeah. Well, and that's what's so funny, too, because, like, they'll call us fake, but you just said, like, yeah, I've had this done, I've had that done. You know, 99.9% of women have had some kind of procedure done, either fillers, teeth whitening, eyelash extensions, hair extensions, whatever, fake tan. Like, women are always trying to do something to make themselves look better, and it's not a bad thing. It's what they want to do, but so many women just don't own up to it. And the fact that you're like, yeah, so what, I've had this done, I love the way I look and I'm confident, that's what makes you so real and authentic. And people need to focus on that. And some of these women who have obviously had stuff done and they're like, no, I haven't had anything done, and they're lying about it. And not only is that harmful for young girls looking at these models or these, you know, public figures, it just it paints our society in such a poor light that they're going to lie about this. And I hate that. And that's why I've always loved you so much, and I've always backed you up and supported you, because you're the most real and authentic person I have ever met. And I just get so heated when people will say that stuff because they don't know you. And like, right. You are so cool. And I was telling Josh too, like when I first met you, I was so intimidated by you because of the way you carry yourself and how you talk to people and how you treat other people. Like you were saying, like, it's hard when you see someone on social media, they're usually a different person in real life. And you exceeded my expectations. You were beautiful. You were kind. You were smart. And I think people need to see that more. And so I want to thank you again for coming on the podcast today and kind of telling your story. And I hope a lot of people will listen and respect you for all of the hard work and everything that you've done. And you've given back to the whole, you know, the golf industry, this community. You have blessed us, and they should be thankful. So
thank you for taking the time to have me, Paige. It's truly a pleasure to see you grow and have your own platform that you deserve so much. And we will make that golf match happen. Like, we should do it on pay-per-view. No, we're just gonna do it ourselves with our own crew. And when can we get that done by? We could do it during quarantine.
We need to get it done. It needs to happen soon. So you call me, we'll make this happen. Yes. And we should do it on, release it the day of the actual Tiger Phil Tom Brady Peyton Manning match.
Just explode the world, because everybody's still going to be in their homes then. I don't know when this is all ending. Yeah.
Holly, I just want to jump in for a second, because your past is so impressive to a guy like me, Colin Cowherd. Like you said, Paul Azinger. I mean, like you've worked with Norman Fax and all these guys, right? All this amazing stuff, NFL, PGA, do you miss any of that?
I miss the people that I worked with. It's like some of the names you just mentioned, plus everybody at Golf Channel, Brandel Frank, Charlie Reimer was one of my best friends, Gary Williams. I mean, God, the people I got to work with at Fox, like Carissa Thompson, Colin Cowherd, Skip Bayless. I mean, Joy Taylor, all these, the people you see every single day. On TV, like, are some of my best friends. I miss making TV with my best friends. That's the part I miss. Do I miss the actual sitting around for 14 hours at the golf course? No, I don't. Do I miss, like, people wearing sweaters in the golf community blasting me for being a, you know, whore or whatever they call me because they see me wearing a short skirt, completely unfairly blasting me? No, I do not miss that.
One thing that came out of both you two talking is you guys should definitely do something about that whole mental brick thing, like this idea that you guys just took. You're both still very vulnerable, yet you both have had to switch out all the hate, you know, that's come at you. You guys, there's something like really fascinating that you guys should jump on. I'm serious. It's fascinating.
1,000%. And it's just us figuring out what that is that we can, you know, market together. But there's something here that is enormous and people would love to see. And of course the haters are going to be like, oh, these two big boobs and the boobs podcast. Like, come on. Guess what? People want to watch. So,
yeah.
And we actually have a message. We're actually, honestly, we could help more young women out than anybody. Instead of the Kardashians who, like, you know, Kylie got an entirely new head. And that says it's just filler. You know what I mean? Like, you have a new head. And there are girls out there trying to, like, scrub their lips and, you know, to try and make them puffier.
Yeah.
And it's like, no, this is a new head. I got a new head. But they're all lying about it. It's like, come on, the shape of your head changed. You went from like an oval to like an actual heart upside down triangle. Like, it's not.
Oh, Holly, I love you. You are the best.
All right, Josh, are you ready for some TNA?
I behaved for so long, so yes, I am da-doom, 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 da-ready.
It's TNA. TNA. Boom, boom. With Paige.
I want to say for everyone who's listening, that sounds really awesome to us, but I'll even listen to that. I will listen to this back on the podcast I listened to the other day, and Josh is like offbeat, and Tori's like, it's tea in it and it's so, but like right in this moment we are killing it and we feel like it's perfect. So just
we blame Zoom for anything going wrong on that because we are perfect.
I am not offbeat.
All right. From Run, Rye, Run, I keep pulling the ball on the drive. How do I fix it?
So there's so many different ways that you will hit a pull, or the way that you're slicing it, or there's so many different things that happen in your swing. So it's always really hard to find one certain tip that will help you hit it better. What I always go back to is fundamentals. So that is your setup, your grip, and how far away you're standing from the ball and ball position. Those are the main things that you always need to focus with. Always, swing path is really going to affect if it goes right, left, and how your club face is open or closed. But I think you can change a lot of that with just having good fundamentals. So you, most people have the ball too far forward or too far back, so it just should be a little forward of center. And then when you have your grip, you basically want, when you're gripping the club, it should look like two V's are shooting up your shoulders. And that's when you're going to have a neutral grip. If your hand is, if you're a right-handed player, if your hand is, your right hand is too far to the left, that means you have a weak grip. If it's too far to the right, means you have a strong grip. If you have a strong grip, usually that's when you kind of come underneath it and turn it over, and you'll get those pulls and those hooks. So if you neutralize your grip, then you're probably going to be hitting it a lot straighter. Also, if you're too far away from it, you tend to reach it, and so you'll hit it on the toe, and if you're too close, you tend to hit it on the heel. And if you hit it on the toe, that's usually when you get those kind of nasty starts right, hooks left. So there's so many things that will affect your golf swing and make it go one way or the other. And I always say this too, golf is a game of opposites. So if you're hitting it left, swing to the right. If you are missing it right, swing to the left. If you want to hit it up in the air, you hit down on it. So if you think about it in that way, instead of, oh my gosh, it's going left, I'm going to swing even harder, you tend to kind of rip your shoulder over and it will go even more to the left. So swing out to the right, and that should help you too. But start with your basics, work on ball position, stance, grip, and alignment is also a big one. You should be good to go from there.
I was practicing mine over here if you didn't see.
Yeah, Tori's over there doing shadow swings. It looks great.
If you have any questions, Paige, the unfiltered golf queen, email us at par@iheartradio.com or follow us on Instagram, Playing Around Podcast, and slide into the DMs and we will answer them.
Cool. That is... I never know what to say after Tori kills it because she's just so smooth with it. And then she like looks at me and I'm supposed to just end the episode and I never know what to say. But thanks again for listening, everyone. We always have a good time on this show. I want to give a special shout out to Holly for just being awesome. And guys, if you're listening to this, go head over to all of our social media. Just send her a nice comment. You know, she is a really awesome person, super smart. She's beautiful. So give her some positivity. Send that along her way because, you know, it's rough out there for an IG ho. So keep that in mind and keep... It's rough life, Josh. You don't, you could never understand. It's difficult. But always send us some positivity. Thanks for listening again. And we should wish Josh a happy round of golf. And we will be getting an update on how bad he played. And also, I just wanted to say he is wearing the ugliest shorts I've ever seen. That is all. And we'll see you next time for Playing Around.
Up yours!
Follow Playing Around with Paige Renee on iHeartRadio. Or subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts.